Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark with our three stars, Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee. Being in the doghouse is no novelty to the crew of HMS Tritebridge, nor is it a novelty to Captain Povey, particularly when he's at home. This evening, Ramona is not at all pleased with his table manners.
Henry Povey.
Ah! I mean, yes, my love?
Are you determined to wallow in filth? Must you always be a mucky boy?
What have I done now, my love?
You have allowed some of your delicious boiled eggy to drip on my best plastic tablecloth.
Well, no harm done. It is only a plastic, so I can soon wipe it up.
Only plastic. Henry Povey, may I remind you that this plastic tablecloth was my dear mother's wedding present.
I'm sorry, my love.
Have you any idea how many cigarette coupons she had to collect to get it? Poor dear was smoking like a steam engine for months.
It's very beautiful, my love.
In future, kindly show your appreciation by not dropping dollops of boiled eggy all over it.
No, my love.
I don't spend all day slaving over a hot stove for you to fling good food all over my dear mother's plastic tablecloth.
No, of course. I've finished all the rest of it. Can I turn my boiled eggy shell upside down in the cup and bang it with my spoon now?
Certainly not. The last time I let you do that, bits of eggy shell went whizzing about everywhere.
I just don't know my own strength. Could I take my eggy shell out into the garden and bang?
Henry Purvis, how many times do I have to tell you? I am not standing for you playing dodgy old games near my herbaceous border.
Just as you say, my love.
Besides, I'm not at all sure it's not an insult to my cooking that you've left your eggy shell. You should have eaten it.
Oh, Ramona, please, I'd rather eat your dear mother's plastic tablecloth.
Don't you dare.
It's only just a joke, my love.
Was it? Well, I warned you about your sense of humor before. And whilst we're on the subject, next time you're dusting the banisters, we'll have none of that vulgar horseplay with your feather duster when Ramona is going up the stairs. It wasn't a bit funny.
I was only trying to tickle your feet, dear.
If that's the case, I can only assume that you need glasses. Right, Ramona will answer. And if it's one of your little sailor friends wanting to know if you can come out and play, the answer is no. Hello? Start chatting your end. I've got work to do, even if you haven't.
Oh, could I speak to Captain Povey, please? It's Lieutenant Murray here.
Wait, Henry.
Yes, my love?
It's for you, a Lieutenant Hurry or something.
Murray, actually, madam.
Don't interrupt, Hurry.
Sorry, pardon?
Permission to answer it, Henry, but I shall be listening on the extension, so heaven help you if he's rung up to tell you a coarse sailor's anecdote.
I'm sure he hasn't, my love.
Carry on.
Hello, Captain Povey here.
Lieutenant Murray here, sir. I think you'd better come down to the dockyard, sir.
What's happened?
Well, I'm not quite sure, sir. Unfortunately, it looks very much like sabotage.
What?
Our engineering officer, Lieutenant Queeg, has just reported that the lad in the engine room who understands all the mechanical gubbins or whatever they are down there...
Do you mean to say the lad is actually on duty?
Well, temporarily, sir.
Well, what's all this nonsense about sabotage?
Well, the lad reported to Mr. Queeg that he's discovered a large quantity of iron filings in our floggle-toggle box.
What? Oh, Queeg, this is serious. We'll report this to the security officer, and I'll be aboard first thing tomorrow morning. There's not much I can do at this time of night, but don't put to sea until your floggle-toggle box has been drained, flushed, and refilled.
Aye, sir. Oh, by the way, sir, whilst we're on the phone, did you hear the one about the couple who stayed at this hotel in Portsmouth?
No, not now.
They signed the register as Mr. and Mrs. Smith and went upstairs.
Number one, Ramona is listening to me.
And 3 days later, the hotel manager noticed the do not disturb notice on their door and said to the floor waiter in a very loud voice,
"Stop, this has gone on quite long enough."
Exactly. Then a voice from the room said,
"Silence! And in future, kindly remember that I'm listening and I'm the one who decides where to draw the line."
Oh. Heard. See, it is.
Number one, get off the line. For pity's sake, get off the line. I'll be aboard Trutbridge first thing in the morning.
Aye, sir.
All right, who did it? That's what I want to know. Who did it? Who tried to do an unfortunate to our floggle-toggle box?
We'll all end up in chains. I can see it coming. Fall in the crew at Trutbridge. Clank, 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 tinkle, tinkle, clank, clunk.
Clunk?
Clunk.
What's clunk?
Tiny ball on end of chain.
Take no notice on him, Chief.
Take no notice? Ghosty, my son, how can you ignore a thing that size?
If anyone wants to know, Abel Seaman Johnson reckons you two are being horribly personal about Abel Seaman Johnson's person. In any case, I've lost weight.
How much?
Stone.
Oh, well, they are then. On you, that doesn't show. 100 weight or two, and we might have noticed.
Well, my Aunt Morpeth reckons he's the biggest lump of unroasted beef of old England she's ever seen.
Oh, does she? Well, she's the skinniest Welsh nut I've ever seen.
Damn.
That does it. Chief, hold his cup. Well, I knock his roly-poly head off.
You what? Let me get at him, the leak-filled slaggy.
No, then.
When I finish with him, he'll look like a badly filled bag of his own nutty slack.
children now, please. Oh, yeah. Children, kiddies. Let us not resort to fisticuffs. We're in enough muck with a novel floggle-toggle box already.
Yeah. We'll all end up in chains. Mark Fatso's words, we'll all end up in chains. Clank, 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 clank. Tinkle, tinkle.
I'll belt up, not a nothing.
Did you call me, Chief?
Well, not exactly, Mr. Phillips, sir.
Any news?
Load if I know, actually. Captain Povey's with number one now. There'll be an inquiry, of course, and then I expect we'll all end up in chains.
Yeah. I told you, clank, 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 tinkle, tinkle.
I'll cork up, you great rotund harbinger of doom, you.
Well, if anyone's interested, I would like to see one thing. If I'm going to be incarcerated for years and years and years and years, I'm not going to be locked up in the Tower of London. Cardiff Castle I stand for, but the Tower of London, no. That's all. I just wanted to make a point, see?
Well, the fact remains, one, put a load of old codswallop in our floggle-toggle box. The question is who?
Yes, it's not Canice, sir, is it? Cannot Canice at all, it's Canoe.
Canoe. I mean, cannot.
Yes, quite.
You know, Petrie, for what you do to the English language, people have been locked up in the Tower of London for years and years.
Not me. Cardiff Castle or nothing, and that's final.
Why don't you shove a leak in it, you rabbiting Welsh rabbit?
Of course, there is one good thing about all this, Petrie.
Good thing, sir? And what, if I may be so bold, the blue blazes is that?
Well, during the inquiry, we're all confined to ship.
Yes, I had heard, sir.
Well, there you are, then.
Am I really, sir? And where would that be exactly, sir?
Stuck on board, of course.
Yes, I'd rather gather that, sir, but I hardly see any cause for the...
Oh, don't you? I do. If you're confined to the ship, that means you can't take Heather out, doesn't it?
Oi, you giggle nasty. Why don't you melt yourself down into 4 tons of crude oil and pour yourself away?
Now that sense, that is. Best thing to do with oil, pour it away. Stick to coal, I say, and good Welsh coal at that. Burns a treat, it does. And no evil-smelling pong, neither.
We'll keep her welcome in the hillside. We'll keep
her
welcome.
Oh, leave off, you Carnarvon Caruso.
Jealousy, that's what it is. Now, be honest. Did you ever know a Welshman who couldn't sing?
Plenty. Yeah, plenty, but never one that didn't. Now, flatter off the pair of you. I want to talk to Mr. Phillips.
In that case, hard luck. I don't want to talk to you snog snatcher.
Now, look. Look, Mr. Phillips, sir, please, look, as I understand it from Heather, your engagement to her has been broken off.
Huh, that's just where you're wrong, isn't it?
Eh?
It takes two to make an engagement, you know.
What about it, sir?
Well, there you are, then. Heather may have broken it off, but I haven't. Get round that, if you can.
You know, sir, you said that with such conviction, it almost sounded logical.
I'm not just anybody's fool, you know. I'm somebody's idiot. No, I mean, it's not just anybody who thinks I'm a fool. It's everybody. No, it takes an idiot to spot another idiot.
Excuse me, Mr. Phillips, sir.
What is it, Ginger?
Mr. Morris' complaint, sir. And will you join him and Captain Forby in his cabin, sir? So much hope, sir.
Very well, Ginger. I'll come at once. I'm not too keen on the company here, anyway. Filthy swine. And a snog-snatching filthy swine at that.
Oh! Oh, how common.
Come in.
Filthy Sub-Lieutenant Phillips reporting Snog Snatcher. Sub-Lieutenant Snog Snatcher reporting a filthy snog. Swine wanted to see me.
Oh, shut up and sit down, you chirpy little chatterbox. Captain Povey's just carried out a complete examination of the ship.
Oh, congratulations, sir. Was she all there?
Well, apart from the various lumps you've knocked off her over the years...
Yes.
I have also arranged for your floggle-toggle box to be drained, flushed, and refilled.
Oh, nasty.
Pending a further inquiry, I am confining the entire ship's company to the ship indefinitely.
What other steps will be taken now, sir?
Oh, a great number, I can assure you. And naturally, I've informed Whitehall, and they were far from pleased. Strangely enough, Whitehall regards sabotaging your ship as a very serious matter.
Oh, now, just a minute, sir. There's no evidence that it is sabotage yet.
Oh, please. But I have every confidence that there very soon will be. Security are analyzing the contents of the Boggle-Toggle box at this moment, and by this afternoon, we should know exactly what was put into it.
You know, sir, I could wish you wouldn't make this sound quite so much like the chance of a lifetime.
As far as I'm concerned, number one, it is. Over the years, I've tried every way I know to spit you lot up.
We had noticed.
Yes, and every single blasted time you found some way to wriggle out of it. Well, now, at long, long last, now you paid right into my hands. And I don't intend to let an opportunity like this go past. I am informing every naval department I know, the dockyard authorities, the dockyard police, the press officer, and anyone else who will listen. By the time I've finished, I doubt if most of you will even be in the service at all, let alone aboard this ship.
Oh, thanks very much, sir. And may I say what a great comfort it is to know that you're on our side.
Not a word. He hasn't listened to a single solitary word.
Oh, he listens, sir. It's just that whilst he's listening, he doesn't actually hear anything.
Well, a chap can't be expected to do two things at once.
Keep calm, Henry. Just a little while longer and it'll all be gone. You've only got to take it like a British bulldog a little longer.
British bulldog? Well, now that you come to mention it, sir, I suppose there is a certain sort of... Yes, I think it's your ears, sir. Possibly the way you twitch your nose all the time. Yeah, maybe it's the way you dribble, sir.
Mr. Phillips.
Sir?
In the interest of Captain Povey's health, shut up. Thank you, number one. Thank you. Now, I want some details from you. When exactly was the damage to the Boggle-Toggle box discovered?
Well, about 6 o'clock last night, sir. Shortly after you'd left after inspecting the ship, sir.
I see. Well, whoever it was knew better than to try it on whilst I was aboard, obviously. They must have known that when I inspect a ship, I most certainly inspect it.
Oh, we'll give you that, sir. But the only thing you don't do is to stick your head down the funnel.
Oh, don't rely on that, number one. There's always a chance that I might.
Oh, I know, sir. That's why we always have a stoker standing by to light the... Were there any other details you wish to know, sir?
I've got it.
Pardon?
Now, what's he talking about?
It's the forehead. The way it all crinkles when you're annoyed, sir. That's what makes you look like a bulldog, sir.
Number one!
He's just leaving, sir. Come along, Mr. Phillips. Pull ahead, both with your feet. Out you go.
Chains. I've said it before and I'll say it again. We'll all end up in a dirty great chain. Clank, 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 tinkle.
Oh, for crying out loud.
The beef eaters take you out for an hour's exercise every day, you know. We'll all get marched round the circle on the gravel outside the plum-coloured tower. Clank, clank, crunch, crunch, crunch. Clank, clank, crunch, crunch, crunch. Clank, tinkle, crunch.
Johnson, I'm warning you. Next time somebody shoves a foreign body into our floggle-toggle box, it'll be you and I'll do the shoving.
I ain't a foreign body, I'm an English body.
And there's a lot too flaming much of it.
I've lost a stone.
Well, next time, lose a whole perishing gravel pit, and then it might show.
Why don't you, Chief? That's always the trouble with the English. Even when it comes to eating, they never know when to quit. Stands to reason, doesn't it? I mean, if they haven't realized it's time for them to quit Wales and let us have home rule by now, they're hardly likely to know when to stop gorging themselves stupid, are they?
Blimey, you're back again as well, are you? Look, Goldstein, why don't you take a running...
Pardon?
I'd step for that out of it.
Charming.
Oh, hello, you chap.
Hello, Padre.
So kind. I just thought in times like these I should circulate among you to give you some words of encouragement and to say how sorry I am that it has come to pass that through this emergency you are temporarily prevented from going to your local hostelry, the Chilliwack and the Shander.
Very nice of you, I'm sure, Padre. Very nice.
Well, Chief, I've often found that it is at times of stress such as this that a chap needs a bit of a chat with a chap of the claw.
Yes, well,
I did just want to say that in this hour of despair, when we are here on this floating wilderness, cut off from our kinsmen on shore, I did just want to say that despite this setback to our morale, that in future, wherever you are, and whatever it is that you are about to do, and with whom you are about to do it, I still have every confidence in you. Every confidence.
Thank you very much, Padre. I'm sure that we all feel a lot better for those extremely well-chosen words.
Oh, so kind. Well, my regards to all. Regards to all.
Cheerio, Padre. Right, you two, you can't mess about here on deck all day. Look, get mobile. Find yourself something to do.
Aye, aye, Chief.
Like what, for instance?
Well, I don't know. Learn the rude words, so we'll keep a welcome in the outside.
Something like that. Come along, Fatso, leave him. No respecters of national pride, some people.
What the heck was that all about?
Offhand, I'd say it heralded the approach of Wren chasing. You're bespoke.
Oh, blimey, yeah, you're right. Hello, miss. Oh, hello, weather.
Hello, John, dear.
Oh, come away, Taffy. We don't want to be raspberries, do we? I mean, we don't want to be gooseberries.
You may not, but I do.
Why don't you flutter off?
Pardon?
No, not you, miss. Not you, weather. Hello, dear.
Dear. Teddy. Is Commander Bellabite or Lieutenant Murray?
Yeah, well, the captain is around somewhere, but you know what Commander Bell is like. He's not here today and Drake knows where tomorrow. Mr. Murray's in his cabin.
Oh, well, I've got this signal from Captain Purvis.
Perhaps I'd better take a quick butcher's at that before it goes any further.
No, just a minute. I know we're going out together, John, dear, but I'm not sure that I could let you know.
Oh, what a shame. Oh, I've knocked it out of your hand. Yes, I just managed to catch it before it blew over the side.
How very fortunate. Well, read it quickly, and then I really must give it to Lieutenant Murray.
Yeah, are you sure this is Mole Thunderguts? What the heck did he sign it with?
Oh, well, if you must know, he had to straighten out a paperclip, dip it in the ink, and sign it with that.
A paperclip?
Yes, he lost his ballpoint pen, and he's in a panic. He don't go home this evening.
Well, the pen was a gift from Mrs. Povey, I take it.
Yes, it was. It even had presented to Henry and paid for by Ramona inscribed on the side.
How romantic.
Quite. I think it's jolly unfair you're all confined to ship. It means that we can't go for any of those lovely walks along Commercial Road in the evening. I mean, it won't give our romance a chance to blossom.
No, it won't.
Well, I shall miss you.
But I'll miss you. Ethel, dear.
And I'm not missing anything, John, dear.
Oh, blimey, there's always one, isn't there? Where did you spring from, Mr. Phillips?
I didn't spring at all. I was sprung there all the time.
Pertwee, you're wanted.
Who bars that?
Well, me, dear, of course.
I wasn't asking you. Mr. Murray wants all of us in his cabin. Captain Pove is there with the Whitehall lot and the security chaps. If anyone wants my opinion, Pertwee, I hope they've found that you did the old nasty to our floggle-toggle box. So there.
Yeah.
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 Oh, really? How childish can you get?
Right, gentlemen, this conference has gone on quite long enough.
Have we got the result of the analysis from the security idiots yet? That's all I want to know.
Yes, that's the position, chaps. You heard what the Admiral said. Have you got the result?
Sir, Lieutenant.
Sir.
Shut your cake hole.
There. By all means, Admiral. Cake hole mark one, chatting through for the use of shut bar.
That'll be the day.
As Director of Naval Expenditure, if I could have a word, I would like to point out that there are more serious problems involved, apart from those sabotage angles, though. With the state of the pound, dollar deficiencies, and give or take a couple of quid to win each way, there's the expense involved, you see. Flog and toggle boxes just don't grow on trees. In fact, offhand, I'm not sure where they grow. But it'll be hard currency, by George, it'll be hard currency. You can bet on that, and any to come, bet on it.
Exactly, Mr. Merrivale. A very neatly put.
Wasn't bad, well, it didn't impress me.
Mr. Phillipson, what are they talking about? Oh, I haven't understood a word for hours.
Well, neither have I. Mind you, in my case, that's normal.
What the lot of you?
I never said a word.
Then don't. I understand that Lieutenant Hunter from Security now has the results of the analysis of the contents of your floggle-toggle box.
Have I? Oh, good gracious. You're absolutely right. I have. Yes, that's me all over. Always the last to know.
Oh, well, really.
Now then, before we hear the results, I would like to state in front of the Admiral and all you other gentlemen here that as soon as we know what it was that was put into the floggle-toggle box, and we face the man who put it there, I intend to show no mercy. Absolutely no mercy at all. And then don't be frightened to speak up, Lieutenant. And be ready to repeat it all, word for word, at the court-martial. I've got all the papers prepared. All I need is the analysis and the name of the culprit.
Morning. If he's had to write out all the court-martial papers with a paper clip dipped in ink, it must have taken an hour.
Touch me. Touch me. Be quiet.
Well, gentlemen, there's a right load of scientific guff down here. But briefly, it would seem that the foreign matter in the floggle-toggle box of HMS Truthbridge was not iron failing.
What?
No, it seems to have been some form of black plastic and tin.
Oh.
Well, my chap can't be absolutely certain, of course. But as near as they could tell, it would seem that what was in the floggle-toggle box was a ballpoint pen. Pardon? A ballpoint pen.
Mr. Philip.
Oh, it's all right, sir. You can relax. I've just checked. Mine's in my pocket.
Oh, but we know somebody who hasn't got his ballpoint pen in his pocket. Don't we, Captain Povey, sir?
Yes. Well, I admit I've lost my... Nonsense. He couldn't be. I had it only yesterday.
Yeah, that's right, sir. You signed the book in the captain's cabin after your inspection. Yes. I distinctly remember seeing you put it down on the ledge above the ventilation shaft to the floggle-toggle box.
What? Lummy, if Lieutenant Queeg started up the floggle-toggles in reverse, that means they sucked in instead of blowing out. So your pen would have, It's a bit of a shame, isn't it?
See, it's got to be. It mustn't be my pen.
Well, the only evidence we have is a big lump of it which didn't get chewed up by the floggle-toggle. It seems to be some sort of inscription. We thought it was in code at first. It reads, presented to Henry and paid for by Ramona.
Oh, good grief, I'm ruined.
Ramona, eh? Well, it shouldn't take us long to track down the saboteur from that. There can't be many idiots who would go out with a ghastly name like that.
Oh, I don't know, sir. I believe I know one officer who would.
Do you now?
Please, give me time. Certainly, sir. How much do you want, sir? It's 7:15 now. I can give it till 8:30.
No, that's not what I meant. I merely... 7:15? My tea! I should have been home hours.
Excuse me, Captain Pove, sir. You're wanted on the ship to shore phone, sir. I've bunged it through in here, sir.
Oh, dear. Excuse me, gentlemen. Hello, Captain Pove speaking.
Henry Pove.
Oh, good grief, it's my wife.
7:15. I suppose you've been whooping it up with your common sailor friends again.
No, my love.
Well, I'm not cooking you another tea. Your boiled eggy has been on the stove for over 2 hours. So you can turn that upside down and bag in with your spoon and see where it gets you. If any luck at all, it'll break your wrist. Now, just you leave at once, and as soon as you get here, you can write Ramona a nice apology for being a bad boy with your lovely ballpoint pen that Ramona paid for. Henry, are you listening?
John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray have been floggle-toggling their way through The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one. Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Mrs. Povey was Heather Chasen, able seaman Johnson was Ronnie Barker, leading seaman Goldstein was Tenniel Evans, and the Padre was Michael Bates. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnson.
And there'll be another edition of The Navy Lark at 5 o'clock next Sunday.